I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, a graphic novel treatment of one of baseball's darkest days. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for a look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
The Giants won the first two games of the World Series, so should we just go ahead and put the champagne on ice?
Pitching. Not yet, because winning the first two games of the World Series is not indicative of very much of anything. Yeah, the 86 Mets lost both of their first two games at home, came back and won the World Series. Atlanta did it. Atlanta won the first two games against the Yankees a couple years ago and then proceeded not to win another game. I have to admit that Madison Bumgarner, who hadn't pitched well in 3 months, came out and pitched a really fine game in the second game. If San Francisco gets that kind of pitching, they will win. I don't know that they'll win it very quickly.
The series, as you say, now moves to Detroit, where downtown businesses have been asked to, quote, leave the lights on to show support of the Tigers. That should turn it all around, I guess.
Yeah, they're going to bathe downtown Detroit in lights, including the Penobscot building, which will have white lights on it for all three nights. It was the tallest building until they built the Rent Center in 1977, but you can see it from the park. So, yes, downtown Detroit will be lit up so all can see.
Manager Ozzie,
is that good or bad? I have no idea.
Manager Ozzie Guillen surprised some by making it to the end of the season with the Miami Marlins. However, he was fired on Tuesday. Marlins president of baseball operations Larry Bainfest said afterward, "I can't tell you exactly what the Marlin way is today." So is this the baseball equivalent of what real estate brokers call a fixer-upper?
Well, I can tell you what the Marlin way is. The Marlin way is to succeed for about a year and then strip the team bare, make sure they stink, suck down all the revenue-sharing money you can, and then maybe, if you're feeling really good, rebuild the team again.
If somebody had told you in August that 6 weeks into the NFL season there would be one undefeated team, would you have guessed that it would be the Atlanta Falcons?
No, I would not have. I thought they'd be good. I thought they'd be 4-2 or perhaps 5-1, but there's only one undefeated team left in the NFL, and it's them. And regardless of how you think they got there, the rest of the league is going to have to come to them now.
All right, it's quiz time.
Okay.
Sports Illustrated asked 180 players to name the most overrated player in the National Football League, and the winner is...
You know, I hate to do this because, as you know, I try to stay on the good side of the Almighty at all times, but it's Tim Tebow. And by the way, it was 34%, which when you open it up to everybody in the league is a runaway. But I think the most interesting thing is that tied for second was the other Jets quarterback, Mark Sanchez.
Ahead of Tuesday's start of the regular season, the NBA surveyed the league's general managers, and they have concluded that the Heat will repeat as champions and that LeBron James will win another Most Valuable Player award, but they're going to play the games anyway, right?
Way, way out on a limb there, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it's entirely possible that LeBron won't win the MVP. One of his teammates, namely Dwayne Wade, may win the MVP, but I don't think it takes a lot of risk to say the Heat are going to repeat as champions.
David Stern announced this week that he will retire as commissioner of the NBA in February of 2014 when Deputy Commissioner Adam Silver will take over the job. Veteran sports writer Sean Powell calls the move 2 years too late. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, the last few years have not been as successful as the first few years. The black mark of the lockout last year. You've got the really terrible way he played the city of Seattle, which I may never forgive him for. Had he retired prior to Oklahoma City stealing the Supersonics from Seattle, he would have been reckoned almost universally as good a commissioner as there ever was.
On Sunday night, the Indiana Fever beat the Minnesota Lynx and won their first WNBA championship. This inspired at least one Fever fan to celebrate unapologetically. And I don't know about you, but I admire this unnamed fan for her candor.
Yeah, she went out and got herself sockless. And when she was arrested for, among other things, refusing to sit down on the curb when the police asked her, she said, "Baby, I'm celebrating the Fever winning the championship. I'm loaded and I ain't gonna lie."
As if lying would have helped.
This failed to persuade the arresting officer, and she went to the slam.
I know you're on record as not wanting to talk about the NHL lockout until there's something worth saying, but on Friday, the league announced that the current collective bargaining dispute would not be resolved in time for a full 82-game season, and they canceled games through the month of November, so I gather you're not shocked.
No, and they pulled their latest proposal off the table. Gary Bettman wants everything. He's going to break his sport if he has to get it. This is my standard opinion on this lockout. When the NHL wants what it wants, and Gary Bettman's going to go down in history as the worst commissioner of a major sport there ever was.
It would be redundant, I guess, to describe two soccer teams in Greece as cash-strapped, given that the whole country is in that situation. But what do you think of the ways that Voukafalos and Paleopirgos are addressing their money problems?
Well, no matter how deep your economic crisis, Bill, there are two businesses that will always stay flush: brothels and funeral homes. So they have decided to finance soccer teams.
We'll put your logo right here.
Absolutely. Although apparently one of the coaches was asked, he says half joking and half serious, but I'm willing to bet completely seriously, what kind of bonuses will we get?
Oops. Many strange
bonuses.
Things, many strange things have happened on golf courses, but the strangest may have been what occurred near the 12th tee on the San Juan Hills Club in Capistrano, California, one afternoon this week. And the incident involved a shark, and it wasn't Greg Norman, right?
Not only that, but, you know, the swallows come back to Capistrano all year, but it's very rarely that a shark falls from the sky.
And then the swallow is carrying a shark in its little beak.
What's the wingspeed ratio of an unladen swallow in the first place? Yeah, there was apparently some sort of predatory bird had caught a 2-foot leopard shark and was carrying it home to dinner.
Probably not
when
a
it
swallow.
Sneezed or coughed or something and dropped it on the 12th tee of this golf course where one of the groundskeepers found it wriggling around.
What'd you find out there, Jack?
Looks like a shark. What's it doing on the television?
And finally, Charlie, the Vancouver Whitecaps are the underdogs in the first round of the MLS playoffs. But some say the Whitecaps are riding the power of a hairstyle I thought had disappeared a couple of decades ago. What's that all about?
The mullet is back, ladies and gentlemen. And if you want to follow the Vancouver Whitecaps, it's time to start looking like Jeff Foxworthy right now.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland and elsewhere as well. He joins me each week on Only a Game, of course. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.